to Aussie Tech Heads, podcasting live from the Secret Hub Studios on the Gold Coast, Australia. Sit back, relax, and listen for a while. Who knows? You might learn something.
Another week, another Aussie Tech Heads. How are you going? Brought to you by athwebhosting.com.au. Fast, Sydney-based servers for your domain registration and web hosting needs. athwebhosting.com.au. Welcome, episode 439, and this is recorded on Thursday, the 28th of May, 2015. And a big thanks to Will and Warlock for putting the show together last week. Well done, you guys. What was I doing? I wasn't sick.
Sniffing paint or...
I was painting. That's right. I had a lot of minor...
Sniffing petrol, I think.
minor renovations going on and, I was too tired, eh? So
you want to get married?
You swung a hammer three times and you were done for the night.
Yeah, pretty much. All right. So, as you can hear, we have Will. Hey, Will. How you doing?
Hey, mate. How are we?
Good. What have you been up to?
Same old, really. Nothing special.
Okay. And Eric.
All right, then.
I live an incredibly exciting life. You should know that by now.
Yes, that's right.
I'll tell you. I know what you were getting at. So some of those who follow me on Facebook would have noticed that I put up a post last week. Me and my wife are expecting. We're 14 weeks in this week, so.
I thought you'd put on a little bit of weight, mate.
That's why, we're sharing responsibilities.
No, I bet.
Congratulations, Will.
That's why I've been absent from some of the shows.
Congratulations, William. You can join the club like the rest of us.
That's it. It's all downhill from here, I hear.
That's right.
You got about 30 years of pain and anguish coming up your way.
Oh, I can handle that. I've had 30 years of it so far, so I hope.
Yeah, that's right. You're halfway there.
Now, all right, so before we get too far into the show, can I just I love doing this on the show. Eric, can you turn your mic down any, please?
Who, me?
Yes.
Enrico.
Yes, and Enrico, the Fantastico.
How's that sound?
All right, cool. I'm just trying to get you the same level as Will. So,
up a bit, doesn't worry me.
Yeah, that'd be good. Well, you got to come up and Eric's got to come down.
That'd be bloody right. But, all right, let me do this thing.
We'll figure
it out. Okay, testing 1, 2, 3. Hello, viewers. My name is Eric. Nice to be here again this week.
Yeah.
Eric's coming down and I'm going up. Am I up enough for you?
Oh, look, you're a little bit softer than us, but
I can't go up anymore. I'm up as far as I can go. It's too late.
Well, we know what you have been up in previous weeks. And that's how your troubles are about to start.
Okay. That's it, exactly.
Now, you might be a little bit soft, so apologies if Will's a little bit soft. We tried Skype, and as you could remember from when was it last? Oh, was it the last Aussie Mac Zone I did or the last Aussie Tech Heads? The Skype, for some reason, wasn't taking the video from Wirecast. So now we went through didn't do it again this week after reboot. So we went to the GoToMeeting free plugin version for the browser. That didn't work. That didn't want to know anything.
It worked fine for everyone else all the other times.
Yeah, but it didn't want to work for us, did it? And so we ended up back on Zoom.us. So it looks like we might give this a shot because it seems to be pretty stable. So that's good. All right.
So far,
so good.
Quite stable, I mean, nothing's caught fire and the world hasn't ended, so.
That's right. Exactly. Okay. Well, look.
There's limits.
Let us begin. And if this is the first time you've joined us on Aussie Tech Heads, let me tell you.
I feel so sorry for you.
Welcome. Oh, we will bring you the news that has captured our attention throughout the previous week and bring you up to date. So most people listen to the show and they might stick it in the car or whatever, and they're busy lives, driving to and from work, can't be bothered reading the magazines and reading all the blogs and all this. Hey,
You're driving.
That's right. So chuck us on and you'll get all the news that you need to know, I promise, especially this one. Text messages, warning, bug crashing iPhones around the world.
Apple strikes again, another high-quality product bites the dust.
Oh, here we go.
So have you guys heard of this?
Yeah, I heard it today. Yeah, I tried to send one to Will, but he doesn't have an iPhone, so it didn't work.
No, that's right. You probably crashed your own phone in the process.
No, I did not.
So today the news is flying around regarding an iOS bug that causes the message app to crash. I've been having troubles with the message app, and I've had to restart a few. Yeah, the keyboard stops and all this. I've got to restart the app. But anyway, it's not this problem. But anyway, so there's a certain key sequence that you can send in a message to people, and it will reboot their phone. So there is.
That'll be funny. Can we try that?
Well,
how do you send it? That's the question. You have to forward it, wouldn't you?
No, I don't know. I've put it up on the screen for those on the video. And those who aren't on video and you're interested, you get them in the show notes, aussietechheads.com.au. But, yeah, apparently, well, I'll send it to you, Eric, and see what happens. I'll brick your phone. So what happens is anyone with an iPhone, text another user this. There's some little symbols. Yeah, I don't even know how you get to them. But anyway, if you have had this happen to you, there is a fix. Apparently, some people have tried, have the person who sent you the malicious message send another message, effectively cancelling out the initial strand.
I don't understand how Apple can have such weird programming that something as simple as this has that effect. That is cool. You know, I'm being objective. I like Apple products. I think they're beautiful and they generally work. But how could they let this happen? It's such a simple
Yeah,
text message on the sequence of keys and letters and numbers, whatever. And I don't understand.
It's okay because there's no.
What is this, Microsoft?
There's no major, you know, shutdown code or backdoor into the iPhone. They're perfectly safe, so don't worry about it.
But yeah, I know, but it shouldn't happen at all.
But I think what it
shouldn't
is
happen at all.
No,
don't tell me something like that's not deliberate. The fact that somebody randomly stumbled across.
Scott from the store probably did it.
Who did it?
Scott Forstall, he got sacked.
Oh, okay.
He probably did it.
He probably do. Yeah, Johnny Ives got a new job, new title or something.
He probably did it. Probably wanted a job.
Now, anyway, so if you have the misfortune of receiving it and getting your phone reboot, or you could send yourself a message via Siri, the share sheet, or from your Mac. I don't know what they mean by the share sheet. What's the share sheet?
I have no idea what that means.
No, I don't know what that is. Anyway, it's not something to do with the share. Send yourself a message via the share sheet. Don't know. Anyway, other users have noted that sending a photo to the contact via the Photos app can allow them to access the message history and delete the conversation. These fixes should do the trick. We await the official fix from Apple in an upcoming software update. Now,
in September.
Now, Apple's pretty good. They'll push it out. Let me have a look.
You reckon?
Let me have a look. There's probably one there right now. I reckon they're not going to.
No, there isn't. There isn't one.
It's only a text message waiting for you. Click on the link, it'll fix your problem.
That's right.
Oh, my phone rebooted. Hang on.
His phone actually just rebooted. What a canard.
You know, as I say, those high-quality Apple products strikes again.
Yeah, no, my phone's okay.
I will be quiet.
But it's like, look, if you look at the sequence, the key sequence, it's little images. Like, where do you get them? I don't even know you can get them.
Emojis. You got the emojis on your phone.
Yeah, emoticons or whatever they call
them. Yeah, right. Well, anyway, so we are aware of an iMessage issue caused by a specific series of Unicode characters, and we'll make a fix available in a software update as soon as possible.
In September 2016.
Yes.
Which will fix that problem but bring down everything else.
That's right.
While Apple is working on a fix, there are reports of workarounds you can do if someone wants to prank you by turning your iPhone into a brick. That's a prank and a half, isn't it?
That's a huge prank. That's the prank that gets you lots of friends.
Macrumors reports one of the best solutions is to send yourself a message. Yeah. Or you can use Siri by holding the home button to activate Siri and say, send a message to myself. Because only Siri would do that for you.
I'll try that.
Now, Eric, I think you had an Apple story. Is this true?
Did I? Let me just.
I think you did.
Siri, send me a text message.
I don't know who you are, but you can. Siri settings, tap on my info.
Siri, you are an absolute idiot.
Now.
Piss off. Hello, viewers.
Hang on.
Oh, what? What on, Apple story?
I'll see if she does it to me. Hang on. Siri, send me a text message.
Okay, what do you want to say to Glenn Goodman?
You are pretty...
A legend.
You are very good looking.
Ready to send it?
You bet.
Done.
There we go. Oh, let's see. There we go. Oh, my phone rebooted. No, it didn't. All right. Oh, no, I'm getting her. Glenn iPad. I'm getting them from an iPad of yesteryear and everything.
I think Osmos is having a go at us.
I replied to myself.
Did you?
Yes. I sent it and it replied.
Siri, send me a text message.
Who are you?
I don't know who you are.
You haven't told her who you are yet, Eric.
I think I have in the past.
She's forgotten you. You got one of those faces that, you know, your mum would forget. Yeah. But all right. Well, while Siri tries to work out what Eric or what he is and who he is.
Siri, send me a text message.
Okay, what do you want to say to Eric Franco, private?
William Tompkinson is an absolute knob.
Ready to send it?
Absolutely.
I don't understand, loosely.
Yes. He spelled Tompkinson pumpkin.
William Pumpkin.
Best show ever.
All right. Okay. So let's get back on the track here. Now, while we're talking about iPhones.
Lucky I've got an Android that does what I tell it to, not what it wants to do.
Now, while we're talking about iPhones, Apple might be changing its iPhone font. Did you know about those ones?
Yes, so, I heard about that.
Oh, it was, yeah. So Apple is rumored to be ditching the type of text that many of us see every day. So look for those on the video. There you go. For the last few years, iPhone users have been been typing out messages and notes in Helvetica Nui. But it's expected users will soon be seeing a font called San Francisco, which the firm created for the Apple Watch. It's thought the switch will be confirmed at Apple's developer conference in June. I don't know. I think it looks pretty good, the San Francisco.
It looks clean. It's clean. It's not as thick.
No, it is not.
It's crisp. I don't mind it. It's good. I'll have it. Whatever. Yeah,
looks pretty clean. All right. Now, going back to your Apple story, Eric, what was yours?
Oh, yes. What is mine? That's a good question.
Did you put that in there?
Apparently, the rumors, a source close to the Apple said, that the next iPhone update, the iOS 9, will be optimized for older devices. Now, to some people, everyone goes, huh? What's the big deal? But generally, in the past, every time Apple comes out with an update for software, it tends to render the older devices a little bit useless and buggy, and you tend to not want to use it and get a new one.
Mm.
Right? So I think they're starting to realize, from what I'm reading here, that rather than annoy their loyal customers, they're going to stop doing that. So you'll be able to put them on the older phones and not necessarily have to upgrade to the next one.
Yeah.
So that's not a bad good thing. So you'll keep your phone longer.
Yes. Yeah, well, that's a good idea. So they should. That's great. I love it. Yeah, well, so what was that about the 4S?
Well, it'll go right back to the 4S. You'll be able to use it from the 4S up.
Right.
So 4S, 5C, 5S, 6, 6S, and this year they're coming out with a 6S this year.
Yeah.
Once all the way, so back, what? Three, four generations.
So you're going to get a 6S?
No. I've only had the phone for a year, not even a year.
Mm. Yeah, I think.
When does the year come up? September, I think.
You're about the same time as me.
Yeah, I tend to only update when the contract's over. But I went with that thing with Telstra where if after 12 months I want to update a phone, all I've got to do is give it this one back to them and they'll give me a new one.
That's all right.
At no cost. You've got the same thing too, Will?
What is
so as long as you give it back to them in working order, they'll give you a new phone.
But you know what really? Well, you know what's really neat about that plan? If you tell them you give it back to them and don't send it back to them, they don't ever ask for it.
Oh.
Nice to know.
saying, just throwing it out there in case, you know.
Because the thing is, too, I don't mind. Actually, that's not a bad tip, but at the same time, I don't mind giving it back to them because I'm just getting a bucket load of phones. I don't know what to do with.
Well, mine ended up going to like friends, family and friends who drop theirs and break them and they need a phone for a week till they get another one. So I kind of got like a rental service thing going on.
That's not a bad gig.
Yeah, so, well, look, that's good because, like, I think my – oh, no, my mum, she's just upgraded. She's got six. So she's just upgraded.
She's happy.
From the four. Yeah, because I knew me and you were on the same cycle, Eric.
Yes, we are. Yeah. But you didn't update.
Not this time, no.
You might go the six, so I don't know.
I might do the S.
But yeah,
I don't think
you'll be on the S path now instead.
Yes, but I don't know if I'll have any money. So we'll have to see how that goes.
Yeah, the problem is Telstra's plans have got really expensive.
Yes.
I don't know if they're going to bring them down for – look, they might have them up for the S, but they might bring them down for the 6 when you are ready to upgrade, Glenn.
You know,
like if they, because they'll still be selling the 6s.
Well, my mum did. Well, my mum and I were on the same plan. Remember I got on that $55 BYO plan? She scrounged around and she bought her 6 from Dick Smith. Yeah. Who offered some pension discount or something. And
she was already to get you one.
Yeah, I might do when the 6S comes out. Yeah, but she actually bought it outright and it came in cheaper by about $100 over the...
Oh, that's it. That's if you're going to...
Over the forward estimates. Wangle that,
that's the way to go.
Yeah, so...
Yeah, well, they've got... They're actually... There's a... Speaking of like data points, that was one of my stories. There's actually a barrage of all the companies trying to get into the race of this at the moment and they're... Data plans at the moment are actually quite insane.
Well, like Vodafone's once again dropped all their plans.
Yeah, well, Telstra's doing a $70 SIM-only plan, 5 gigs of data and one bonus gig is
really
$70 a month. Optus is doing a $60 with 300 minutes.
Optus is pointless.
6 gig data and 2 gig bonus for $60.
I would never go back to Optus. I would go back to Vodafone before I went back to Optus.
Vodafone's doing $60 for a SIM-only contract, unlimited talk and text, 300 minutes international, 4 gig of data, plus 4 gig of bonus per month, plus 1 gig sign-up fee. So it's 9 gig total for $60.
In a month?
Yep.
God, you can stream pretty much anything.
9 gig for your first month, and then it's 4 gig plus 4 bonus for after that.
Oh, right, okay. Well, it was the iPhone 6 last year when they did the promotion. Telstra gave 32 gigs for the first month.
Hmm.
Yeah, that's what I got.
That's only for the first month.
What's that?
I got the 25 gig for the first month.
Yeah, I got 32.
I just left my phone on streaming all night. I went to sleep.
Yeah, I went to sleep and streamed a video.
Yeah, I just
Virgin are doing unlimited talk and text, $300 worth of calls and 5 gig of data, plus 4 gig bonus for the first month for $60. AmiSim, $55 a month, no contract, unlimited talk and text and 7 gig of data for $55 a month.
Mm. It's like
and Audi, which is the one I use, for $45 a month, you get 4,300 minutes of talk, 50,000 SMSs, 20,000 MMSs, and 4 gig of data for $45. Audi's who my second phone's with.
Well, what about Woolworths? What about? Oh, look out.
What about it?
Your free meeting is going to end in 10 minutes. Please upgrade.
Oh, God, was that the – you got that too? I thought it was just some sort of
– No, I got that as well.
All right, so in 10 minutes we're going to have a pause because we're going to have to reconnect.
The countdown and say back after the break.
Yes. All right, so what we might do is do this story and then we'll have a break.
Just quickly, I want to talk about data. As you know, I've been with Telstra on my Note 3 since the phone came out basically. And there's a really neat bug with their software at the moment. If you factory reset your phone with a different SIM card in it and then put your SIM card in it, the data logger can't figure out how much data you actually use. So at any point during the month, whenever you check your data usage.
Start again? Well, you did what?
So I factory formatted my phone with my Audi SIM in it. And then after it's formatted and installed and set up, I swapped it back to my Telstra SIM. And so since Christmas, I had zero data every month, no matter how much I use it.
Did you? And when you get your bill, does it say zero data?
Yep.
How does that work?
I don't know, but I'm not going to complain. I'm not updating my plan. I'm not changing my contract. I'm not doing nothing.
And they can't change. They can't charge your Aldi SIM because it's not in there.
No. Well, my Aldi's in the other phone. Like I use that in my other phone. But
and you're not getting any unwanted data on that?
No, I've only got the $15 prepaid per month on that. It's only a prepaid SIM.
All right, and it's not giving you any.
That's pretty
funny.
You'll
notice I don't even have my Wi-Fi is not even on. It never is. My Wi-Fi is always turned off. I have not had it on since Christmas.
Well, hello, Telstra viewers. I hope no one from Telstra is watching that.
Telstra, great company. I can't praise them highly enough.
Just joking. It's just a bit of CGI. Don't worry about it. Just kidding.
So, now, at first, I thought it was a glitch. I thought it was just the program playing up. But then once the bill came in and the bill said zero as well, I'm like, okay.
That's pretty good. That's like in the old days when you used to, you get free games on those tabletop machines by switching them off and on about 100 times in a second.
Yeah.
Did you? Yeah. They used to give you the free games. Now, but anyway, Woolworths is becoming a wholesale Telstra 3G supplier. They'll be using the spectrum of the 850 megahertz and the 2100 megahertz. Woolworths has signed up for Telstra's prepaid and postpaid mobile solution. Offers resellers their own branded prepaid, postpaid and wireless broadband offer. Blah, blah, blah. Telstra, blah, blah. Covers Telstra 3G 850 megahertz covers 1.3 million square kilometres of Australia. The new Telstra partnership will only initially apply to the telco's 3G network, so they're not doing the 4G as yet. But a Telstra spokesman told IT News that Woolworths would be free to take up wholesale services on the 4G network when it becomes available next year.
Yes,
so, why would you pick Woolies?
Sell phones for $12.
Yeah, would it be the other way around, I would have thought.
Well, they do car insurance, they do everything else. So
how dodgy is that? Have you ever looked up the Coles car insurance? You can't find no information.
Have you ever gone to Google and typed in little red dot?
No.
No.
What happens? Let's have a look.
Well, that's what it says. I was like, they're ad promoting. All I can remember about their ad is a little red dot. I don't know. You just go to Google, type little red dot. I'm sure it's not going to end well.
No, probably not. Probably not. But that Coles car insurance, geez. You try and find out who underwrites that and
it's Wesfarmers.
Oh, Wesfarmers, yeah.
For Coles?
Yep. Yeah. Wesfarmers are huge. I wouldn't worry about it.
Oh, but yeah. Look, I looked at their thing and I just got
Wesfarmers started as an insurance company over 100 years ago.
Well, I just got the...
They own Coles and Coles Insurance.
They didn't give me a good feeling, to be honest.
Well, change your postcode, mate. You'll be right.
Oh, do you know? Yeah. Okay, now...
Because my wife's good. How much... What they give you? Sorry, tech heads. We're off track here.
Yeah.
What were you trying to insure, your car or your house?
Oh, no. I just went for the car just to see how much it would be.
Right, your existing car?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
What was their monthly... payment?
Oh, I don't know. I think it probably came out to be okay, but from what I remember when I was doing it, I just didn't feel confident in the amount of information I was getting. Like I wasn't getting, the information. It just seemed really light on, like in legal information, all the ins and outs, the PDS.
Oh, they send you that after.
Yeah.
The biggest thing with any insurance company is making sure you use agreed value, not market value.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you tick things like higher car option, lowest possible excess, your 100%, your maximum no claim bonus if you're on it, which you probably are. Mm. What else? Higher car and windscreen replacement for free, no excess. That's the main things I look for.
Yeah. Well, I think I'm with Yui anyway. So after all that,
Yui.
What's with an RMA?
Yeah,
Yui. Oh, they're very expensive for me. At the moment.
GIO's not bad.
Everyone says they're expensive, but they're the cheapest and they gave us highest agreed value. So it's so dependent.
I think it might depend on the car or the suburb or the state. Because I've been with NRMA for years and years and years and years. And then suddenly I look at what they want to charge me. I thought, well, no, it was nearly a triple.
All right, so let's leave the car insurance there. What we're going to do is I'll tell you, for something new, let's just have a quick break. And welcome back. Now, just without losing any momentum at all, let's go straight into Telstra because we've been talking about phones. So let's start back up with phones. Telstra debuts in the top 100 global brands. Is that worthy of congratulations? I guess so.
Depends on whether or not if they're... basing it on how long you spend on the phone with them, yeah, that'd be number one.
Yep. I don't know. I think government agencies have got to be in there somewhere.
Yeah, top five. Mm-hmm. If they base it on that horrible automated speaking thing, you know, please tell me what your problem is. Broadband. I'll put you through to mobile phones right now.
Yes.
Well, if you're listening about the show last week, they were actually rated number one this year for the most complained about telco.
Yeah, but overall, really? It's been down. Complaints are down overall.
But you know, they are exasperating to deal with. But unfortunately, or fortunately, depending how you look at it, is that they do have the best coverage.
Yeah, exactly. But something like 35% of their complaints went unanswered. So it's not that the numbers were down, they just didn't answer them.
That's right. If you don't answer them, like Centrelink, remember? Half of their calls dropped off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, how many times you ring Centrelink and it's like your expected wait time is 30 minutes?
4 days.
Yeah.
Like when your oldest graduates.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, I love it when you go, your expected wait time is 7 minutes. Your expected wait time is 34 minutes. Well, hang on.
There's no one available to take your call.
You just got push back the back of the queue. Yeah.
You have a complaint. Your complaint is not important to us. It won't be answered by the first available operator.
Because what happens is people, when they're in the actual office, they go into the office and ring up the call center, the office phones get priority. Apparently.
Yes.
And yeah.
Yes.
Now, anyway,
and then they go to lunch.
Yes. Yeah. That's right.
At 10 a.m.
Oh, that used to annoy me. You'd walk into the Centrelink office and 47 people were having lunch and one person was at the counter.
Yeah.
Or they wait for you to come in and they all turn their back and walk away.
Oh.
Now,
no wonder people jump the counter and throttle them. Seriously, I deserve every bit of it.
Now, Telstra came in at the debuts in the top 100 global brands, coming in at number 82, which not a bad.
What's happening?
Glenn exploded.
Oh, have I gone? My audio? How's my audio?
No, you're okay now. There we go.
Yeah, so Telstra came in at number 82, top 100 global. So Telstra's
number one.
Telstra's, I'll get to that, have a guess. Telstra's brand name was estimated by Brand Z. Well, I suppose that's supposed to be brands.
They sound like a reputable company.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who runs that? Eddie Obeid?
I guess it's because of the way that Australians would pronounce that, but I'd say it's supposedly Brands or something like that, you know.
Brands.
Oh, so much better. Yeah, that's a hell of a lot better.
Yeah. To be worth
Brand Z.
Brand Z. That's right.
Sounds like a really bad breakfast cereal.
Yeah, well, that's what happens when you come to Australia. Your brands could be Brand Z. Now, Brand Z said Telstra was to be worth $12.7 billion. Other Australian companies include Commonwealth Bank at number 48, $20.5 billion. ANZ Bank in 59th with $17.7 billion.
That's surprising.
Westpac at 84 with $12.4 billion. And NAB's not in that list. NAB must be there somewhere.
No.
Well, are they gone down the toilet or something?
Yeah, I don't touch NAB. I used to work for the NAB. I wouldn't bank with them haven't banked with them for, 15 years.
What's wrong with them?
I just don't like them.
Oh, I haven't banked with anyone else for
as far as I'm concerned, 20. There's only one financial institution that's worth touching, and that's ING, but I mean, what would I know?
Yeah, what would you
know? Yeah, exactly.
I it's really neat. I get on my statement every month, I send me a statement. It says, this month you have made X amount of PayWave transactions. And then at this amount of money, and because they offer 5% back, it says we have saved you. It was something like.
Did they give you back the money?
Yeah, they give you 5% back. Every PayWave transaction, you get 5% back. So at the end of the month,
when do you get it back at the end of the month?
No, instantly.
Why do you get it back?
Really?
As soon as the transaction goes through, they refund 5% back for the PayWave.
Because I'm with ING PayWave, and I don't get any of that.
Really?
Yeah.
What Visa debit?
Yeah.
Why?
You should also get your FPOS fee, your ATM fee instantly returned. Yeah,
that's right. And I got charged the other day.
No, really?
Excuse me.
Yeah.
You might need to ring them up, just double check, make sure that yes, we're just ignoring you. You might need to just make sure that they're doing the right thing.
Yeah, I want to log in and have a look at that. Anyway,
hello.
Continue.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Now, why? Why do you, get 5% of back of what back?
Yeah, loyalty bonus. So if you deposit $1,000 or more a month into the account, you get what they call the loyalty bonus. So basically you put your wages in every month. And what that basically means is that every time you use PayWave, you get 5% back on your PayWave transaction. So if you spend, and it's up to $100, obviously. So if you spend $99.99, you effectively get $5 back on that transaction, which is, you know, if you get buying fuel, buy $100 worth of fuel, you've just saved $5.
That's all right.
Yep.
So that's
so it's any amount, Will?
Yeah, any even a 10-cent PayWave, you'll still get the 5% back on that. But you've got to deposit $1,000 a month. So
oh, yeah, that's no problem.
Yeah, that, that, and then I get that, and I get the instant ATM rebate as well.
I don't get that. I just got charged the other day.
So what the instant ATM rebate, that's the first.
So if, you know how they years ago they passed a law saying ATMs can't charge more than $2? Well, when you go and pay $2.60 at an ATM now, you'll get that back.
Yeah, okay,
the $2.60 or the whole, the, just the 60?
No, no, that $2, the whole lot. So, like, if it's a dollar or two, I'm just saying $2.60 because they all seem to be that now. But if one of them happens to charge a dollar, you'll get that back too. So you get that whole fee back.
So can you access your ING account like that? Because before, last time I was with ING, you had to transfer it out of one account into your normal bank account to be able to access it.
Yeah, that was back when they first started.
Right.
That was years ago. No, they've actually got a.
So you spend $1,000 on PayWave, you only get $50.
Well, you can only do $100 up a time on PayWave, but yeah, if over the period of the month, if you spend $1,000 on PayWave.
If you spend petrol $110, you wouldn't get it.
Well, I'll tell you what I've been through.
Well, I do two transactions. If I've spent $110 on fuel, I do a $90 one, a $20 one.
They must love you then.
Because I've been through on my ING, I'm hitting it now, from the 1st of May, $1,275. And I got nothing back.
They don't like
you. Might need to just ring them and talk to them because I've been getting that for as long as I can remember.
Oh, see, look here. Look, it says here, Visa debit rebate 2%. I don't know. I'm getting 2%. Starting July, you can use every ATM in Australia for free and get 2%, which I got charged. And it's right. It's all $100 per month. No monthly fees. Okay, but I have never got any of that back.
Well,
So if you look there, you'll see. You know, you see you get your total April rebate total, and then you get the rebate activity for month, and then the last 12-month calculator. It shows you on top of your statement, and then it says, you know, every time I get 2% back, but I also get a bonus because I referred people, so I actually get 5% bonus. Back
yeah, well, that's that. Yeah. That makes yeah. I've seen that one as well.
But you get the minimum 2%. Yeah,
that's all right.
Well, they're ripping me off.
Yeah, don't you like how Will is giving Eric financial advice? Good on you, Will.
Well, no, Will knows how to scam the system.
Yeah. That's right. I got no idea about financial advice. I just know how to, you know, take advantage of a lame situation. I suppose
Will's the Aussie scam school.
Well, I've only been using it for a month. Maybe that's got something to do with it.
Yeah, probably. That,
possibly.
It's not over for 2 days.
I want to suss you out.
But I've got three accounts with them basically. I've got my saver account, which is their high interest rate saver, where you know if you put money in and you don't take it out for that month, you get a higher interest rate than if you take money out. But you can anytime; it's instant. I've got my normal daily transaction account, and then I've got like my secondary daily transaction account, which I use for my PayPal and all that sort of stuff. That's only got enough money in to cover my bills at the time.
This episode right, is well, brought to you by
anyway, IMG. Never mind. Let's talk about tech, shall we?
Yes. So now, the top just one more thing. I noticed when I was looking through my bank statement, you notice I wanted to see how much credit interest I was getting. You know, you go through and you go, oh, you know, the interest rate came down 0.25%. And so, yeah, so your credit interest rate, bang, down 0.25%. Loan interest rate.
Yeah, yeah. Down would have gone down lower. You would have got 0.2 off your loan.
Yes, exactly.
But your credit savings. Interest rate on your bank reserve deposits would have gone down by 0.25.
Yeah.
Lucky I don't have any money, so that's okay. I don't mind.
That's right. Yeah. No, well, mine's all offset as well. Now, coming in at number – I'll have to juncture this together now because we're so long on that ANG thing or ING thing.
ING. That's the problem. You're being with ANG. That's what the problem is.
Never. ANG. ANG. I got the ANG of it. Now, Telkom
– got the ANG of it. Okay, who's number one?
Okay, well, have a guess. Top 100 global brands. Easy.
Yeah. Who's number one?
Apple.
Yeah, number two?
Don't know. Google?
Google?
I'd say so, yeah.
Yeah, so the number one valuable brand of 2015 is Apple, who regained the top spot from Google with a brand value of $246 billion. Now, telecom providers had a large presence on the list, accounting for 12 of the top 100. The biggest brands were AT&T and Verizon, coming in at 6 and 7 respectively. Now, Will, we haven't heard from any stories from you yet. We're past halfway through.
Apart from the ING and the Telstra ripoff.
That's right. give us some life advice,
not stories.
Tell us about Old Fart Geeks. You put an episode out this week.
Yeah, we actually had a busy week. We put an episode of Obsidian Loft and an episode of Old Fart Geeks.
I didn't see Obsidian Loft in the iTunes.
Well, it was actually technically late last week, but it kind of become the one thing at this point.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, so it's Old Fart Geek is you know, basically old technology. You know, what led us to get to where we are, what we did as we were growing up, what got us into it, but also stories about. You know, we might talk about a hard drive, where it started, how it came about. It used, you know, a 5 meg hard drive used to get loaded onto a plane with a forklift, right through to what it is now. Or we might just start talking about the computers we had when we were younger, or what we enjoyed doing, or what a friend of ours had, or that one thing that triggered that moment where we were like, hang on, this is what I want to do. Or like we talked about last couple of days ago, was phones, the old-fashioned phones, and how without, you know, basically the evolution of technology from that one discovery of the telephone. So
that sort of stuff.
So myself and Warlock, we do that. And I've done on other shows. I did it last week. So thanks, guys, for listening. Our numbers are absolutely astronomical. Our listener numbers on the MP3 is huge amount of listeners. I won't say it on air, but you can go to iTunes and possibly check that out. But we're rated like number 2 and 3 on iTunes at the moment for Australian podcasts. I'd love to get our YouTube views up. So if you like the audio, there's a lot more to be seen in the video side of it. We do a lot of overlays and a lot of live screen grabs and stuff like that, and it would help us out if we could get those videos up. But thanks a lot, guys.
So you're number 1 and 2 in what, the whole of Australian podcasts?
Warlock sent me an email last week. Yeah, we were 2 and 3, I think.
Of the whole lot?
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. Why are you getting advertising? Get some advertising. You're crazy.
Not just in the technology subcategory, but the whole lot.
I don't know. I don't have iTunes on my computer, so I can't check it out. But.
That's good. Now, there were some funny comments recently on the pictures of the floppies that I put up on the Facebook. But
were great. They brought back some memories. Yeah,
I can't. I've got to find one that made me laugh. Oh, who was it? Stephen posted a picture of the Microsoft mouse in a retail box. My goodness, that's the size of that box. You know, like fair income.
Oh, they were great at that. They were king of the packaging there at one point. Yeah. I bought a Sidewinder joystick that was about the size of my desk. Well, the box was anyway.
And then someone else had Windows 3.1 on – no, Windows 95 on 21 floppies. Who was that?
Yep.
Yeah, Bullseye Steve.
Good idea. Yeah, I think, but I had that as well. I had the 95 upgrade, which was only 18 floppies, or it was like 25 for the full version. The last version of Windows I had on floppy was Windows 98.
Yeah, that's crazy. But anyway, there were some funny comments, so that's good. Now, anyway, Will, get into some stories, please.
Stories, I can do that for you. Here's one right here, as you will see when I switch over. Periscope.
Huh.
And Meerkat are live video feeds. There's a few other ones as well. Twitter has Periscope. They've just launched it. Excuse me. And it it's a live video streaming app for the Android phone. It comes 2 months after Periscope's debut on the iPhone and 3 weeks after its rival Meerkat made the move to Android. Periscope app lets users stream video directly to their phones, sharing a link to the broadcast on Twitter, encouraging viewers to post comments or send hearts indicating they like the videos. Periscope said the demand for Google's version of the app was obvious. It could create many new amateur videographers, particularly from countries like Australia, where smartphone use was so high. The more people who get the app in their hands, the more crazy and interesting things it will see. Due to the way Periscope's Apple and Google app teams had worked side by side, but Android would have a more efficient and better communications and notification system than iOS, simply due to how Android works. They're a little bit different. But so you can do, yeah, basically, it's as the name suggests, it's a live streaming app. So you can basically stream anything you want. You just point your camera at it, hit stream button. There's no limit to how long you can stream with it. It had more than 1 million users sign up in the first 10 days. It came under fire when it first launched. It was launched around the time that Floyd Mayweather and Manny had their fight. And people were live streaming the fight, so that made some enemies fairly quickly.
Yes.
But yeah, they people love it. I was installing it a couple minutes ago, which is why I was distracted. I haven't had a chance to use it yet. I didn't know about it, but possibly something I'll use because, as you know, I quite enjoy video streaming.
Now, Osmo Sid has posted something to the facebook.com/AussieTechEd site. I just quickly share this because I know, Will, you're into portable computers and laptops, and you've always wanted a mobile streaming device, I know, from your talks. Now, Osmo Sid has purchased one on eBay, and for those on the video, you'll be able to see this. And there we go.
Done. I reckon I could knock that up in a couple of days.
So Osmo Sid, can you please send Will the link?
The only problem is you need to carry a donkey because you've got to have a generator.
Yeah. No, you got a 20 foot power lead. So
which is fine as long as you don't want to go outside, I suppose.
So can you please send Will the link, eBay link? Okay. what else, Will?
Okay, another quick one sort of on the I'll do this one. I wasn't going to, but I'll do this one. You guys know about The Rock, you know, the whole wrestling and...
Dwayne Johnson.
And all that sort of things. Yeah, Dwayne Johnson.
Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
Movie star, extraordinaire, made a great name for himself, really nice guy, you know, all that sort of stuff.
Mm.
He has just set the new world record, and it's not for wrestling moves, it's not for beating, it's not, you know, not for opening a can and whoop ass, none of that sort of stuff.
Nostril flaring?
It's not for what the Rock
eyebrow raising.
It's not for the people elbow or the people's eyebrow. No, he actually won it for setting the record. And by the way, he's 43. Just in case you didn't know, he set the record for the most selfies in 3 minutes. And it's not like just sitting there taking a photo. It has to be every selfie has to be different and it has to be in a different location. He took place at the London Premier Film Awards for where he was there for San Andreas, which looks awesome, by the way. And he posted 105 selfies. It wasn't just shooting them, it was posting them as well. He posted 105 selfies in 3 minutes.
Wow. That's pretty
good. And every single one of them was with a different fan. So
yeah, right.
It was pretty intense. There's actually a video if you want to watch it. But it was actually during the event he got a hand of the award of the thing as well. So I took a selfie of him and the Guinness records as well.
Nice.
But he actually had a quote. He tweeted at the end of the night because he loves tweeting as well, ironically.
Mm.
We just set a new Guinness World Record for the most portraits, selfies taken in record time. Yes, a selfie world record exists for your arm. The selfie world record exists and your arm gets a hell of a workout.
Nice.
Well, I've just looked at you, Glenn, number 14, Aussie Tech Heads. In front of This Week in Google by Leo Laporte.
So this is in the technology section.
Yeah, technology section.
Yeah, we're always up around the number 10. We're pretty good.
Just behind Steve Gibson. Oh, the viruses.
Get some more flashing old computers at the back of me.
Actually, This Week in Tech, their video version, you're in front of that. That's at number 31, which is unusual.
Yeah, so look, we're looking for sponsors, eh?
Yeah. Leo, watch out.
Always. If you got something you want us to talk about, like the Scope IT Education boys did, well, give us a hoy, Glenn at AussieTechEds.com.au. Don't forget the Aussie Tech Radio. That's going pretty strong. That's chewing through the gigs. Lucky we got the unlimited plan. Hey, Will. So that's going great. AussieTechRadio.com. You get the old fart geeks. You'll get that this week. I didn't see Obsidian Loft, but you get that when that comes out.
And it was actually I have a sneaking suspicion it wasn't released till late in the week, but I could be entirely wrong on that. It's been a big like 2 weeks.
And you'll get a lot of other good shows, Tech Webcast, Geeksphere.info and other shows from Australia, New Zealand, Geeksphere, Two Boys Talking Tech, all that sort of stuff. So jump in there. If you've got a podcast and you want to be in the lineup, again, just not going to happen. You've got to email me, glenn@aussietechheads.com.au. Let me know who you are and we'll put you in the lineup. Okay, now I've got a – let's go on with some stories here because I've got plenty. We're a bit of a mobile week this week, isn't it? So let's go to Microsoft Cortana. Comes to Android and iOS. I'm surprised Apple would allow such a thing. But anyway, apparently that's going to happen for, well, it's there at the minute before it gets pulled. And the new Cortana app for Android and iPhone will work as a companion to Cortana on Windows 10. And everything stored in Cortana's notebook will be made available across all devices. Microsoft is really pushing this across all device thing with Windows 10. Like it obviously started with Mac and, you know, pushing stuff to the iPhone and handoff and all this sort of stuff. And the Windows 10 will feature iPhone Companion app that allows you to sync files and content on your PC with Windows, Android, and Apple phones. So the OneDrive app set up on your phone, every picture you take will automatically show up on your Windows 10 PC. I'm still devoed that's still not called SkyDrive. I really like SkyDrive, that name. But anyway, there will be a number of different differences between Cortana and on a Windows phone and a Cortana app. The Cortana app won't be able to access system settings on Android and iOS and won't be able to summon the assistant by saying, "Hey, Cortana." He won't come up.
No, good.
Which is probably a good thing because, you know, that'd just get annoying.
Yeah. So what else? The updated music app will similarly allow you to store. Yeah, so that's all just blah, blah, blah about all that. Now, look, I think I've got another quick little, I think this might be my last little mobile one for this week, but it's about Nokia when I find the right graphic there for those.
Change their name.
Yep, Nokia Australia is no more, no longer existing. Bubkis dead, finished, cremated, and stoned to death. With the subsidiary of the mobile phone maker changing the name registered with ASIC to Microsoft Mobile Australia. Microsoft has been slowly chipping away at the Nokia name, including renaming its handset range to Microsoft Lumia. So that's those couple of things. And one more Microsoft and then we'll – did you have any more, Eric? You had any stories?
No, I was just reading the Kogan release.
Oh, yes.
Wondering how bad or good that would be.
Oh, we'll get to that in a sec. I'll just finish off with the Microsoft. We've been talking phones and Microsoft. But Microsoft's $55 billion offer for Salesforce. So it's not a bad chunk of change, is it? $55 billion.
But
No. But Salesforce.
You would have taken the money, wouldn't you?
Oh, yeah. But Salesforce founder and CEO Mark Benioff didn't want to agree to that. I think he was holding out for something like $70 billion.
Yeah, because, you know, that 300-meter yacht is just not big enough.
But obviously, I don't know, what do you do? You got to have – he must be obviously pretty proud of Salesforce and that's his day job.
Well, he probably doesn't want to sell. It's not for sale.
Yeah, that's probably –
I know why he needs the money. He wants to build one of those.
And what is that? Is that the Apple thing?
That, my friends, is a Starship Enterprise.
Yes.
What, a real one?
By a Chinese billionaire somewhere.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's the main office of NetDragon Websoft, a Chinese gambling and mobile internet company. It cost them an astounding $204 million Australian dollars.
Wow.
To construct.
Nothing. The Apple spaceship's going to cost them $1 billion.
I know. Lou Dian reportedly licensed the rights to build Enterprise replica, making it the only officially licensed Star Trek building in existence since it's completed in 2014. It reportedly features 30-foot metal slides, granting fun transportation from the third to first floor, automatic sliding gates between each working area, and a replica display of a T-Rex dinosaur named Stan, discovered in South Dakota in 1997. Because why not? So if you want to see more of that, there's also a video. You can just search for Star Trek, Chinese Star Trek building, and there's a video that comes with that on YouTube if you want to check it
really
out.
It would be really cool if it actually launched.
Mm.
It probably will. It would not surprise me in the slightest if that's like a built-in feature or something.
But wouldn't it? I think that would be the perfect place for the HoloLens to be unleashed.
Debuted.
Yes,
yeah.
Wouldn't it? Like,
that'd be pretty cool, wouldn't
it? On the holo deck, the holo lens.
I think they're going to need a few plutonium rods to get that off the ground, and that's not easily come by.
They'll need something.
Unless you go to Iran.
Yeah, yeah. I was going to say, just some terrorists will have some laying around somewhere.
Now, Kogan, sticking with Windows, Kogan has launched, is this the one you were reading, Eric? The 349 Windows yes. laptop. Did you want to?
Yeah.
Do you want to have a spiel about this?
See, I looked at the specs there, and I thought, well, the specs looked reasonable, but it doesn't mention the speed of the processor. That's the big thing.
What are the specs?
Well, the specs are, other than the price, 14-inch, 1920x1080 screen. So it's HD. It's good. 500 gig hard drive, but it's probably the
slow one.
It wouldn't be an SSD
and slow. 5400.
It would be definitely slow and as a result, probably heavy. It's probably thicker than it should be. And an Intel Pentium N3540 processor, but I don't know. It's got 2 gigs of video RAM, which is pretty good. Or you're going to upgrade it to 4 gig
for $10.
So that's reasonable.
No.
I'm reading that one at the moment, the 4 gig upgrade. 360. It's actually 369. Go figure.
Yeah, well, the battery's reasonable.
Who wouldn't but upgrade?
The processor speed is the issue, I think.
Yeah, at the end...
It doesn't say what... it's interesting. They don't say what speed it actually is.
Normally, it's garbage.
Let me try and Google it.
That's the low end.
Yeah. Well, it's probably like a Pentium.
Well, it is a Pentium.
Well, Apple did it, and they charged them $2,000 for their computers.
Yeah, that's it. No, it's after 9.5 hours battery life, so it probably is a mobile processor, I'd say.
Yeah, it's going to be a Pentium. Well, I don't believe Apple did that. I still don't believe they did that. And those beautiful bloody MacBooks, the new ones they brought out, with the gold and the grey and the silver, beautiful looking thing. It's very tempting to get one. But then he snuck in the old, whispered under his breath, oh, it's got a Pentium M.
My new boss has got one of those, and it's not.
Beautiful machine, but Jesus Christ, why would you...
Although the battery life, being he's on Wi-Fi all day and he's basically using the computer all day between word processing, browsing, emails, all that stuff, and he gets in there at about 7 o'clock and he leaves at 5 and he's still got 15 to 20% battery life left.
Yeah, well, the battery life is good on those, there's no doubt. And that's because of the processor.
Yeah, that's right.
Low amps.
So you even try and watch a YouTube video in 1080p on it? No, I don't like it.
I got the specs up for this thing and from the CPUBoss.com.
Yes,
and
what's the speed of that sucker?
Yeah, it's a 2.16 quad-core.
It's quad-core. So
yeah, but it's received a 5.9 out of 10. This is just to give you an idea. And an Intel Core i3-405U running at 1.7 gigahertz dual core has been given a 6.2 out of 10.
Mm. What's an i5? Well, my MacBook Pro is an i7.
Yeah, well, that's probably up there. Good, that's a good one. Well, so depends on the
pretty low price. End.
Yeah.
Yeah, low end. So if you're going to use it for that's perfect for school.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, Windows 8.1.
Yeah.
You know? Windows 8.
If you want to watch videos or edit any videos or anything like that, it's probably
awesome. I mean, the best feature for the price is a 14-inch screen because most netbooks are about the same processing power and have similar sort of... So maybe the screen size and the 500 gig hard drive is probably the two benefits of that over a netbook.
I wonder if you could swap out that hard drive easily enough.
Oh, yeah, you can put an SSD in, no dramas at all.
So that'd be...
85 bucks will get you 128 gig SSD.
Yeah.
I got one here. Yeah. Oh, they were really good.
How much did you pay for yours, mate?
Yeah, it wasn't much. It was bad. I'm actually not too sure off the top of my head, but it was good to...
I paid $500 for a 500 gig SSD about a year ago.
Yeah, about half that now, I think.
If you guys just have a little NASA and I'll find out
like the,
how much
have you seen
pay.
The new Samsung PCI hard drive?
I've heard about it.
No, I've read about it, though.
Mm.
Man, that thing is insane. The specs on that thing, holy crap.
Apparently it lies.
Mm.
Well, I don't know. Not by all the benchmarking I've been looking at.
No?
No.
Not good
yeah.
at all. Oh.
Kogan. Well,
the benchmarking I've been looking at, the thing's absolutely insanely fast.
Oh, that's what I mean. It flies.
Yeah. yeah, the like the specs they have on paper, they reckon actually aren't as good as in real world.
You could test one of those.
Like, yeah.
Anyone listening out there, I'd like to get a freebie one of those to test, and I promise to be objective.
It breaks it. It's faster than 2 gigabits a second is its average speed.
You know what they should do, Will? Think about this. Get, you know how you got the USB 3 connections, which are supposed to be lightning quick, right?
Yep.
If you've got a proper drive, and just say you've got an SSD, why don't they make the internal connections USB 3? Hard drive internally.
SATA's quicker.
Well, that's what I mean. They should. They should, instead of doing the PCI or the SSD connections, whatever they're doing, why don't they just make it USB 3 internally?
Yeah, but PCI is quicker than... PCI is quicker than...
It is quicker, USB. Is it?
Yeah. Oh, okay. So SATA, because they've got the new SATA. There's three SATA levels. There's the red, the blue, and the black. If you ever get new motherboards, you'll see they've got different color pins on them.
Yes.
And there's SATA, I think, off the top of my head, I can't remember. It's like SATA 200, SATA 450, and SATA 600 or something. Are the three different speeds.
Right.
And, it's way quicker. But this PCIe drive is that much quicker again. Thunderbolt would be quicker than USB 3. But the thing is...
Thunderbolt's much more expensive too.
You put a USB 3 external drive on a computer. Actually, a lot of systems, like my system I've got, actually has a eSATA connector on the back to put an eSATA drive on it. But you put a normal USB 3 drive on a normal system and the bottleneck's not with the USB, the bottleneck's with the standard drive. But if you've standard spinning disk. But if you've got an SSD, it's far quicker than USB 3. So USB 3 is quicker than a spinning drive, but not quicker than an SSD.
Well, I couldn't find the email, but anyway, I looked up the Kogan site. 250 gig, Samsung 850 EVO, which is, this is what I've got here. Yeah, don't pay $219. Why don't you just pay $139?
You're joking. Wow.
Yeah.
Really?
So that's why I got it, yeah.
Holy crap.
$139 smackers. Red ones.
So 500 gig would have cost you about $250.
Well, it says don't pay. 500
gig one.
Yeah, the, 500.
Yeah.
They might not have
512, whatever it is.
They might not have a 500, 120 gig. 120 gig, $78.
Oh, that's nice and cheap.
Yeah, they've come down so much. The one I've got in my media center is my old hard drive out of here. It was 128 gig, and when I got it was $290 or something. Mm.
They've gone from $2 a gig to $1 a gig to 50 cents a gig.
Yeah, same as spinning drives have. The funny thing is they're almost the same price as spinning drives now.
You're getting
anyone would buy a spinning drive.
If you had watched Aussie Tech Heads last week, you'd know. You can't use SSDs as storage drives. They will not hold data indefinitely when they're powered down.
Well, there you go.
They have a short retention span as 2 weeks in the wrong conditions before they start corrupting.
Right.
Huh.
Well, yeah. But if you want an SSD for your system drive...
For your system drive or for like what I use for my RAID drives to record the video files to or something like that, but don't make the mistake of using it as a long-term storage drive.
Mm. But 250 gig, 500 gig drives, Eric, you start to get into the 960 gig SSD.
So that's a terabyte.
$779. But, you know, from a company called OCZ, like that's getting a bit dodgy, isn't it?
No, I'd go to Newegg or
OCZ's pretty good.
Are they?
Or Mac Sales.
But I mean, this is the one I was telling you about here, the SM951, which is the PCIe. But you can see it there; it's about the same size as a RAM chip.
Yeah,
that's tiny. Goes into your PCIe speed, and just check out this is a normal SSD on the right here. So your normal read-write speed's about 500 megasecond. You know, the Samsung, the read speed's up to three times faster. The power consumption's five times less.
How much is that?
Depends on where you go. I've seen these starting at, I think the 128 gig one I've seen starting at about $200. So they're up there a little bit more than SSDs, but then they don't have the data corruption issues that SSDs have as well.
What about these ones from Kogan? I don't know what Kogan's doing. I'm going to have to start paying more attention to old Wilfred Kogan, whatever his name is. What's his name? Muslin or something?
Mussolini, I don't know.
What's his name? Muslin Kogan or something, isn't it? Something like that.
No, I don't know. I'm not even going to get into that.
So anyway, oh, I don't know. Is he a Muslim? I don't know. He might be. But anyway, it's here on his site here. You got a 500 gig crucial SSD, like the PC, I think, by the look of it, 289.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Yes. Yeah, so if you're after SSDs.
That's perfect.
Yeah. Like, I bought the Samsung because of the brand, and I thought, well, you can't go too much wrong.
Well, I know their hard drives are pretty good. Their washing machines are pretty crappy, though.
Yeah. Yeah.
Only the new ones. The old ones are fine.
Well, see,
the old ones are good. The new washing machines are hideous.
Yeah, that's, I mean, I've got an old one. It's fine. It hasn't burned up.
Mm.
We had an LG washing machine for 10 years, didn't miss a beat. Then we bought a Samsung, and only now it started working. We've had it for 9 months.
Yeah, okay.
It was delivered with a thermostat that wasn't working. So we'd wash our clothes, and it'd go through the cycle of wash, spin, and dry. And then when the dry thing was over, you get your clothes out, and they're soaking wet.
Mm.
Oh, lovely.
Nice.
And the guy comes over and goes, oh, no, it's supposed to be like that. I nearly punched him.
You know how I didn't like my Gmail because I wanted it. I liked the look of Outlook.
Yes.
Well, you can do themes for Gmail. Did you know that?
What?
A theme. You can download a little plugin or a little, what do you call them? An extension that allows you to overlay themes. And I've got an Outlook theme, and it's where blind that it looks just like Outlook.
Is this a browser?
Just
Gmail?
Yeah.
Is that how you access Gmail through a browser?
Yeah. It just looks like Outlook.
You can overlay an Outlook extension on it.
Well, yeah, so it just looks like pretty much like Outlook. I don't get any of the ads down the side or anything. It's nice and clean. It's nice, clean text. Yeah, I'm really happy with it.
I don't know what it is, but I don't like accessing email through a browser.
Nah, I don't care. Who cares? Let's get back into it because we've got to finish.
You've got 2 minutes, 17 minutes to go.
Oh, not again. Okay. So Adblock. We spoke about Adblock not too long ago. They've been in the court because people aren't happy that, you know, they're blocking ads. So, they've had a wah. But they've won again. So this is the second time in 5 weeks. The service prevents ads from appearing on websites unless it has given them permission to be displayed. Now, people who are displaying ads on websites, they're the ones that are getting upset about it. So people say AVG wants to put an ad up on your Gmail page and ad blocker blocks it.
YouTube.
That's right. And I've got no problems. If you want to run an ad blocker, it's your damn computer. It's your bandwidth. You know, block it. Who cares?
Block it.
That's what you want to do.
I use an ad blocker 99% of the time. If I'm visiting a developer and I'm downloading a program and they go to an ad flow link, I'll disable it so I can look at the ad flow because they get revenue from that. And if I'm watching YouTube videos, I'll disable it so that they can get revenue from the YouTube videos. Like not talking like big company YouTube videos, just normal YouTubers.
So anyway,
that's about the only time I disable it.
So they've had another win. This is the fourth time that massive publishers have brought legal proceedings against our startup. There's Ben Williams, a spokesman for the company. Adblock Plus is not the only tool threatening the business model of sites that provide free content to users from advertisers. Mozilla is also promoting the optional tracking protection feature for Firefox, which stops many internet cookies from being downloaded. So this limits the ability of affected sites to show personalized adverts, which are worth more money to them. Earlier this week, one of the organization's former employees published a paper suggesting that use of the tool sped up page load times by 44%. She called on the organization to switch the setting on by default. Well, good on you, love. That probably won't happen. Good on you. Now, just quickly, I did before with our time, less than a minute, we might have to have a break. Just a quick break, and we'll be back in a sec. And welcome back. Now, let's see, where were we up to? I've got, there's a bit of an intense story here, but I'll just briefly give you the intro for it, and then if you're looking for more info about it, just pop over into the show notes. But it's all about Google Play revamps its Android app age ratings. So the Android store will abandon the low, medium, high maturity classification it has used until now and will switch to a system run by an outside body. Google says it wants to reassure parents that apps are properly labeled by bringing in the experts rather than relying on developers to self-certify their products as it's been happening up until now. Instead of a centralized office issuing a single global age rating for each app, the International Age Rating Coalition, or as they like to be known, LARC. So LARC was founded 2 years ago but its members have been in the age classification business for decades. Now, the bodies involved in LARC, the Australian Classification Board, the Classificaco Interdictica, which covers Brazil, and I won't can't even go on with the others. But anyway, so that's what's going on there. There's another story. Did the Apple iPhone font. Will, did you have any more stories? Got one more before I go, but did you have any more?
Yeah, couple of quick ones. I guess it's kind of tech-related, but it's more, I guess, sort of nerd-related. Lamborghini has been an underdog for years. Like, everybody knows Lamborghini Countach, the Diablo, all the old great, you know, the old great classics, and all really stylish and good-looking. Not sure what happened, but apparently Lamborghini has bought out a new SUV.
Right.
In 2018.
Is that it?
It's ridiculous. It's nothing at all. Like, I just had to, I know it's not really a tech story, but I just couldn't believe it. Like, you know.
I actually like that better than their cars. I thought their cars were bloody ugly.
Well, their new couple of cars aren't exactly pretty, but I don't know what. I mean, this is supposed to be an SUV. Okay, SUV, I guess in the broader sense, is a family car. It's going to be full of kids and drinks and chocolates and chips and.
Have you? Oh, not these kids, mate. No chocolates in that car. This is a luxury SUV. I mean, children get harnessed to the back.
I don't know how well this is coming out on the video, but if you have a look at that seat.
Yeah, is it split?
There's like a 2-inch gap in the middle of the seat.
Oh, I don't know what that's for.
Is that somebody spill your drink on the seat that runs down the back of the seat and around?
Yeah, self-draining.
Well, if you don't have any pants on, you know where you can park them.
That's right. Either side of the yeah, I don't know. That's exactly what that's for.
Just park.
I was just flicking through stories tonight, and I just came across. I'm like, I had to do that one.
Yeah, it is. That's crazy stuff. I don't know what's
going on. But one more texture I do have that's quite interesting. We all know, and well, some of us love them, some of us don't. But Google, they have been known for years about having a very, you know, eccentric workplace. There's a replica Virgin Galactic spaceship inside the office. There's metal slippery slides. They have free food. They've got volleyball courts. They've got T-Rex skeleton called Stan. You know, it's insane some of the stuff they have and what the things look like. The Googleplex has got a 1,600-seat amphitheater. You know, they all ride around on push bikes and stuff like that to, you know, to help with the emotion. They basically just leave them scattered around. If you need to borrow one, you borrow one. They have a bank of electric Prius cars and stuff there.
Too bad if you want to get back from where you were going. Someone just go, oh, there's a bike.
Yeah, I know, right?
I'll grab that.
But the one thing, this is one of their cafeterias, just like random cafeteria in the middle of the day. Like, let's just have a, you know, like, it's just constantly packed. There's their auditorium as well. But the one thing I really like is check out one of their staff rooms.
Oh, is that the robot from Lost in Space?
Yep. But check out the size of that
phone.
Android phone.
Oh, yeah, wow. Is it a real one?
It's an actual real phone. It's full touchscreen. All the buttons work on it. Wow. It runs Android. It does everything that an actual Android phone would do.
Get viruses?
Yeah, probably. But, I mean, you know, it's an amazing story. There's a couple of new actual media press releases coming out about the complex and things like that. But, you know, they've still got out the front, they've still got the eclair, and they've still got Lollipop and Froyo and all the different flavors of Android out the front of the building and stuff like that. But check, if you're interested in Android, of course, there's the book that everyone knows from a few years ago called Inside the Plex, which is a fantastic read. If you haven't read, it's also on Audible. Really, really informative, really insightful.
Mm.
But there's a new push coming out about how they're workplaces are setting standards for not just massive corporations, but even there's a lot of things in that small businesses can figure out. But I think what I take away from this story is that there's 6-foot Android phones available, and they're going to be going into production soon. That's all I can say.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. That's pretty cool. All right, any more, Will? Before we go, is that your
nothing important? No, there's it's been an interesting news week this week. I've noticed that the blend of stories is quite. It's quite a lot of stories, but quite a little interest, if that makes any sense.
Well, I'll give you a story to end up with that that sort of takes us down another path. Now, it's the hashtag Charlie Charlie Challenge and why people are trying to talk to demons. So the hashtag Charlie Charlie Challenge involves putting two pencils on a piece of paper marked with yes and no and asking Charlie, are you there? Now, the top pencil is supposed to be spun by Charlie if he is successfully summoned. Now, while some people seem to generally believe in Charlie's existence, others suggest that the pencil spins because someone in the room is blowing it. Others warn that the demon may...
You mean blowing on it?
Hey?
Wait, that's no better. Nothing.
Others warn that the demon may seem friendly at first, but he could also have sinister plans. Apparently, you must also ask to stop this summoning politely, or you
what
risk,
is that?
Or you risk leaving a portal open for demons to come in and out of your sure, house as they please. So,
yep,
okay,
you know, seriously, like, really,
got nothing better to do. Oh, that's yeah. Oh, there, that was the spoofs on the YouTube. That was the One Direction. Who will marry me or something?
No direction.
When will Justin Bieber release his next album?
Have you ever
had one? Really, cares. That there are no be. One cares corner.
Yeah, no, unfortunately. There's never, which is kind of.
Have you done a seance, Eric? Ever done a seance?
Oh, I've done a Ouija board.
Yeah, well, how did
the same thing?
How did that go for you?
Oh, I was about 14, so I scared the bejeebies out of me. Why?
Yeah, so what's something happened.
Haven't gone near one since, I can tell you.
Yeah, right. What happened?
Have you seen.
What happened?
Yeah.
Oh, the thing just was freaking out.
So, as far as you know, that's that. There's no one doing it.
Look, if you believe in good, you've got to know that there's evil.
Well, yeah.
Simple as that.
Compliments.
Have
itself.
You seen the latest phase with this thing called Oja or whatever the bloody hell it's called?
No.
It's a Ouija board marketed as a kids' game.
Oh, brilliant. Where are they selling that? Devils Are Us.
That's what it is. Like,
that is shocking. That is shocking.
That's all it is. It's a Ouija board. Oh no, this isn't freaky enough. Let's make it a kid's game and you know they'll enjoy it.
Yeah, 50 nice. Top 60s games and toys.
Yeah,
yeah, that's actually the same one we use, that one there.
It was released in 1965, but it was never actually aimed as a kid's game. Like, that doesn't look like a kid's game.
No, let's see the kids' version.
That one there.
Oh, God.
It's been marketed to 8-year-old girls.
Yeah, right.
Who's the irresponsible knobhead for that?
Look, I've never partaken in any of that sort of stuff. And
well, I know what I'm going to get in a few people for Christmas then, don't I? Wouldn't that be hilarious? Who do you think, oh, that kid's a little brat to get her one of those? Unaware parents.
Yeah, let's just scare her to death.
While we're talking about inappropriate kids' toys.
Oh, Will, you're looking for a christening gift, aren't you?
Yeah. Oh, dear. There's all just right. one more thing. Just quickly fill a couple of seconds while I try and find this.
All right. So don't forget the AussieTechRadio.com, as I said. Also, where am I? There I am. Don't forget you can email us, whoever we are, Will, Glenn, Eric, at AussieTechHeads.com.au. The webpage is AussieTechHeads.com.au. The show notes are there each week. The show notes are there. If you find a story interesting, you can link to the actual story in the source that where we got it from, or where we, you know, where we copied it from, or whatever you want. What else? The paper, AussieTechHeads.com.au/paper. Also, what else is there? Geez, there's the Twitter account. What about Twitter at Aussie Tech News? If you want three or four stories every half an hour as they break to come into your news feed, just follow at Aussie Tech News. Okay, and you'll get those. So that's been going all right too, that little Twitter account. And that's about all. And so, Will, have you found what you're looking for?
Yep. So this is the new Play-Doh cake decorating kit. You know, nothing. Edible Play-Doh, all the cool stuff that goes with it. The problem is the marketing department must have been having a bad day that day because that's the syringe for the Play-Doh.
Oh, no.
Right, so no. I'm getting your kid for a first birthday as well. I've done the christening gift and the birthday gift.
More for a 21st.
I know. It's like, I don't know. We've made a cake decoration kit. It's all fine and dandy. It's completely innocent. It's aimed at, you know, kids up to, you know, 4 or 5 or whatever it is. No worries. I'm just going to hand it over to the engineers because they need to come up with something structurally secure to make sure the Play-Doh doesn't escape.
That's the problem. Engineers get a hold of it and it reflects nothing. Well,
what sort of fairy would have done that? So for those on the audio, it's a syringe, but it's in the...
It's phallic.
Yes.
Let's put it that way.
Yes.
Let's leave it at that.
It's probably slightly more phallic than a lot of phallic.
And when you push one end of the phallic, it's like a
something comes out the other
end. Something comes out the other end, which doesn't look pleasant.
No. And it's ribbed as well. That's very bad.
That's very sad.
Seriously, like, I mean, how... You can't tell me it was an accident. You could not accidentally do that.
I reckon the person that did that resigned straight afterward, like he intended to.
Yeah, probably.
But, I mean, having said that, not everything is as innocent as it seems. You can shave the baby doll.
What?
Oh, geez. So what you're shaving that's downstairs? Yeah,
then what? Then more hair grows? What happens? No,
I don't know.
Why am I doing shaving the baby doll's backside?
I wouldn't be game to shave that baby, to be honest.
No, you'd be put in jail.
I think that baby came straight out of the Ouija board.
They should be sold as a set. This is what happens if you use the Ouija board incorrectly.
Exactly.
That's bloody crazy. All right, let's get out of here. This is going crazy.
Get out of here.
All right, so look, you can find us anywhere you want. Pretty much just Google it. You'll get to where you want to go. And ATH Web Hosting, don't forget that.
Just Google strange Play-Doh kids toys and you'll be fine.
You'll find Will. Knock on his door and say hello. Okay. So until next week, thanks for downloading, everyone, and keeping us in the round about the top 10 in iTunes. It's great. It's great to know that there are people out there that just download the show, love to consume, and take it and run. So it's great. Good on you.
Bunch of consumers.
Yes. Don't forget live, if you want to watch us live in the lounge. I know it hasn't been too good of late with, I don't know, just buffering issues. I'm going to format the machine with my new 250 gig Samsung.
If that doesn't work, it's your mixer.
I might start streaming from my phone, seeing as data's much quicker on my 4G.
And it's not getting charged. But all right, until next week, it's bye from all of us. Bye, Will. Bye, Eric. We'll see
you all. Bye-bye.
See everyone later. Ta-da.
Yeah.
Aussie Techhead is produced by The Secret Hub and recorded on the Gold Coast, Australia. Please visit our website and take part in our discussions forums at www.aussietechhead.com. Views expressed in the preceding audio do not necessarily represent those of Aussie Techhead or The Secret Hub. Thank you for downloading, and we'll see you next episode. Bye for now.